Thanks for tuning in. Stick around for a while. This is Easter weekend. Actually, it's the spring equinox weekend. It's another holiday, pagan holiday that the early Christians co-opted, which is fine, I guess. Tomorrow night is youth night. So if you know someone between the ages of 13 and 17, that would be 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Tell them to tune in tomorrow night and to call in if they'd like to offer up their opinion of the things that are going on in their world, because it is their world. Late this afternoon, a judge sentenced Scott Roeder to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 50 years. Which means life in prison, because this freak is 52 years old. He is another domestic terrorist who has been sentenced to prison. He faced a mandatory life prison term for gunning down Dr. George Tiller. What, I didn't have the audio on? Okay. Do now. Scott Roeder, sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole after 50 years, who was convicted of gunning down Dr. George Tiller in the back of Tiller's Wichita church about a year ago. The judge could have made this 52-year-old domestic terrorist eligible for parole after 25 or 50 years, and he gave him the harsher sentence because the evidence that came out in the testimony in this case, according to the judge, showed that Roeder stalked Dr. Tiller before killing him. Roeder testified, like these terrorists always do, that he felt he was doing in killing this man, it would protect unborn children. I wonder if Roeder, you know, Roeder's going to be in prison for 50 years now. Let's assume he doesn't wind up having consensual sex with one of his male prison mates. You know, he's still young enough. He's 52. He probably gets horny once in a while, wants to get a little. So if he doesn't have sex in prison with another man, then he will probably spend a considerable amount of his time masturbating. And I wonder if every time he masturbates and ejaculates, if he will consider that he has just been responsible for the murder of a potential millions of children every time he does it. You suppose? That makes as much sense as saying that now, you know, this Dr. Tiller is dead, so he can't kill any more unborn children. I watched some of the pre-sentence testimony from Roeder, CNN. I think it was CNN was carrying it live. And this miserable rat bastard felt it necessary to describe in medical detail, as he perceived it, what happens to a fetus that is dismembered and removed from the womb when the woman who is carrying the fetus, the doctor, and whomever else might be involved in that decision, makes that decision. You know, I hate these guys because they make it sound as though they are interested in unborn human life. They are not. What they are interested in is ending women having the freedom to make those kinds of decisions. And those kinds of decisions can only be made if it has the full support of the law. A woman's right to privacy drives the religious nutcases just out of their minds. And that's true no matter what religion it is. They can't stand it. Prairie 2 sent this in. He apparently we freaked him out yesterday. Or you people did, because some of you sent me emails and I forwarded on to him. Subject line tonight, God was on the side of the anti-tax people then too. All right, here's what he writes. Some people were wondering what happened to me yesterday because my missive lacked the depressing news that normally characterized my reports. I'll make up for it tonight. Initial jobless claims were down only slightly despite massive hiring by the Census Bureau. Ross Perot's old company ADP, they handle a large segment of the payrolls of the United States, estimate that the private sector lost 23,000 jobs last month, and their numbers are usually right. Analysts had predicted a net gain of 40,000. Continuing unemployment claims continue to climb despite people running out of eligibility and ceasing to get benefits or to be counted. The big job placement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas report U.S. companies have 60% more layoffs planned than the previous month. People in companies that arrange outsourcing for other companies say those companies are planning to outsource 25% of the remaining U.S. jobs. It's just a matter of making it happen. Damn. The stock market was up today on reports that manufacturing output was up in Great Britain, the U.S. and China. That would be mostly in China. U.S. manufacturing is up because of increasing inventory after being pared to the bone because of the credit freeze. The Chicago Purchasing Managers Index was down sharply for March instead of the uptrend that had been predicted, and it was down last month, too. This means they're not planning on any uptick in business as they send ever more jobs to China. Treasury Secretary Geithner said today that administrative officials are, quote, very worried, end quote, about recovering the more than 8 million jobs lost in the recession. It's really 11 million to make up for population growth. He said the unemployment rate of 9.7% is, quote, unacceptably high, end quote. The Obama administration has been predicting that job creation will be 300,000 a month soon. Even with the Census Bureau hiring 700,000 people, the jobs numbers aren't what any reasonable person would call good. And those census jobs will mostly be gone by August. There is only one thing Obama can do about the jobs, and that is to raise the current tariff rate of 2% back up to traditional levels. A trade policy that worked well from 1792 until it was ended 200 years later, that tariff policy. There were previous attempts to end tariffs, such as when the customs house at Fort Sumter was seized, which started the Civil War, right? Conservatives didn't like paying federal taxes then either. Many of their other attitudes have remained unchanged as well. The teabaggers plan to march in Washington on tax day, and militia types are trying to work up the courage to bring their guns. They should read a description of the first Battle of Bull Run that took place across the river from Washington in the summer of 1861. The Confederate teabaggers thought that God was on their side then as well. Prairie 2. Well, that's better, Bruce. We don't like your upbeat memos. We want the truth. Did you hear? We're going to play this for you when we come back. Hannity was holding one of these disgusting teabag town hall forums at the Reagan Library in Utah. And the neocon noise machine, there were a couple, I don't know who they were, a couple of Republican members of Congress. Hannity is such a dumbass. He just, I don't think the guy has ever come up with a creative thought or idea or question in his entire life. Anyway, that's beside the point. But what he called some of the assembled audience members was astonishing. And it was one of those slips. I don't think he meant to do it. But it gives you an idea. And then the audience cheered. So you've got to hear this. It's only 17 seconds. And we'll play it for you when we come back. I mean, if there's any doubt, to all you right-wingers who are cruising around the country and listening on Sirius or XM and you want to give me a call, you know, save your breath, especially you types that want to call and say, well, I've never heard Glenn or Rush or Sean talk about hate, you know, the first place, you're crazier than loons. But I'll play a little bit of Sean Hannity hate for you when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. The hour. The you know, those the other group of domestic terrorists, the ones that were busted, the nine people that were busted the other day in FBI raids across the Midwest, the Hatari, they were all held without bond. And now, remember, these are anti-government people. These are people that say, you know, they're getting ready for the big battle between the Antichrist and the forces of evil. And the forces of evil all happen to work for the government, I guess. So these dumb bastards are locked up. And what have they requested? They all have requested a public defender. Jeez. Come on, boys and girl. Public defender? Well, why would you want a public defender? Huh? They're paid for by the government. All right, Hannity holding a town hall forum, Reagan Library in where? Salt Lake City, I believe. Some Reagan Library. How many are there? Well, he was at a Reagan Library. Well, how many are there? There's probably thousands of them. Anyway, he was sitting there. I watched a little bit of this on, I guess it was YouTube. And he's sitting there talking with a couple of Republican geek senators or whatever they were. I don't know. Representatives. And going through Hannity's usual nonsense. And he starts out by saying, I think we won the debate. He's referring to healthcare legislation. When you think of the vast majorities they, the Democrats, have in Congress. Now, I want you to listen to this. Go ahead, play it.
I think we won the debate.
We did win the debate.
When you think of the vast majorities that they have in Congress, and they had the bribe, right. Backroom deals, corruption, right. That's all because the Tea Party movement, the people, all these Tim McVeigh wannabes here. Yeah.
As I said. Huh? All these Tim McVeigh wannabes here, and then these rotten bastards applaud. And who is it? Naomi Wolf wants to reach out to these people? Yeah, I'll reach out to him with a hand grenade with the pin pulled. That'll work. Here, hold this for me a second, okay? Brooke in Indiana writes, Mike, I was riding in the car today and heard a clip of Sean Hannity speaking to a crowd. And he made the comment that the crowd were a bunch of Tim McVeigh wannabes, and they all began to cheer. It took about 30 seconds to hit me, and I burst into tears right in the car. McVeigh killed people's babies by blowing up a daycare. We have a one-year-old now, and I can't help but put myself in their position. I don't want to live in a country where people like Sean Hannity can say something like that and people cheer. My husband says it's free speech, even though it's sick. What do you think? I hope you can address this sick bastard tonight. I hope he gets arrested for stealing money from his charity. Brooke in Indiana. I don't know how to address that. I really don't. Hannity is a sick puppy. He really is. He He's been drinking his own blood now for probably 20 years. That's what these superstars in talk radio do. They drink their own blood. This is what Beck is doing. Beck has done it for a while. Limbaugh, you can tell Limbaugh does it because, well, just look at him. But I don't know how to answer that. On the one hand, you have this domestic terrorist in Wichita who was sentenced to 50 years to life for murdering a physician. And the killer's whole attitude was, I'm protecting unborn children. And then you have a pig, a filthy, filthy pig like Hannity, saying something in praise of Timothy McVeigh, who murdered, how many kids were in the daycare center? 19 innocent little children blown to pieces. I swear to God, being a father of a little child, when I heard that today, I start thinking really, truly violent thoughts about a piece of human waste like Sean Hannity, who is paid millions of dollars to say that kind of stuff. And in his spare time, rips off the families of dead soldiers and Marines, steals money from them. And if I say what I really think, see, you know, I could lose my right to broadcast. You know, I really could. I guess I can do this, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't. I guess that kind of fits Hannity. If you want to know what I'm doing, you have to get online and look at the video stream. But seriously, Hannity is the type of guy. Years ago, when I was in school, if we heard somebody say something like that, we'd immediately, and I don't mean we, I mean I, would immediately invite him out into the backyard and just pound his ass into the ground. Years ago, you know, back when we were kids and some smart-ass kid would say something like that, comparable to that, it would be a quick invitation. Come on out and back. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. I'm getting a lot of emails from people who are suggesting that Hannity's comment was intended to be ironic. It was Hannity's way of saying, well, I might as well go ahead and call you Timothy McVeigh wannabes because mainstream media refers to you as terrorists. No, Hannity's not that smart. Hannity is the dumbest person in talk radio, with the exception possibly of Hugh Hewitt and Dennis Prager. But he's in that top three of complete dummies. So, no, he meant it just the way he said it. Now, I got a couple emails from people that said all day today the right-wing scream machine on radio and television immediately leapt to his defense and are saying things like, well, he was just mocking mainstream media. No, he wasn't. And even if he were, when's the last time you heard somebody who has respect for this country use the deaths of 18 children, 18 kids in preschool, for God's sake, as a means of making an ironic statement? Somebody needs to do to Hannity exactly what he deserves. Take him someplace, take his pants down, put him over their lap and just paddle his ass like the Catholic priests used to, you know? Hannity, I think Hannity was very much abused by the Catholic priests. But that's what he needs now. He needs to be treated like the child that he is. He needs to have his ass spanked until he can't sit down. And then say 1,000 Hail Marys, 2,000 Our Fathers, and 46 acts of contrition. And then leave the country. And someone told me, someone wrote here, the Reagan Library is really in Simi Valley, California. All right. I thought it was in, I know that one, but I thought there were bunches of Reagan libraries. You know, it's St. Reagan. Joe writes, Mike, last night I attended a thrilling Paul McCartney concert at the Hollywood Bowl. About halfway through the concert, Paul played the song Blackbird and explained its musical and lyrical origins. Apparently, the song was inspired by the civil rights movement in the United States during the 60s. Paul talked from the stage about the strength of African Americans during this time and how they persevered until today, when finally an African American was elected president. This led into the next song, a new one called Sing the Changes, which he dedicated to Obama and African Americans in this country. During the song, he flashed a couple of animated images of Obama on the screen above the stage. This apparently didn't play too well with some of the more conservative in the crowd, as I heard a few people yell things out during the song. Amazingly, a group of about 10 people who had paid hundreds of dollars to see a living legend perform left during the song. After a few moments, I realized that Paul McCartney did this on purpose. He knew that by giving tribute to Obama as a result of the civil rights movement of the 60s, he would alienate the racists in the crowd. Luckily, his plan worked, and these conservative morons left the Hollywood Bowl when Paul continued to play for another hour and a half some of the best live songs I've ever heard in my life. But then again, these conservatives probably would have been just as mad if they had to sit through his playing Give Peace a Chance. Paul obviously hates racists so much he doesn't even want them in his audience. Neither do I. Excuse me. I hope the spirit of the 60s can come back one day and a new generation can revel in the non-prejudice ideas of the time. Joe. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine people? Of course. And we have a bulletin here, according to Father Gabriel Amath, who is the papal exorcist. He is the exorcist of the Vatican. And according to the Catholic News Agency itself, Father Amorth said that the defamatory reporting on Pope Benedict XVI, especially by the New York Times, is the work of the devil. Satan is behind it. Speaking to News Mediaset in Italy, the 85-year-old exorcist noted that the devil is leading the attacks on Pope Benedict XVI regarding some pedophilia cases. He went on to say, quote, there is no doubt about it, because he is a marvelous pope and worthy successor to John Paul II. It is clear that the devil wants to grab hold of him. Father Amorth added that in instances of sexual abuse committed by some members of the clergy, the devil made them do it. That's right. The devil uses priests in order to cast blame upon the entire church. The devil made them do it. This old bastard said, quote, the devil wants the death of the church because she is the mother of all the saints. The devil combats the church through the men of the church, but he can do nothing to the church. Oh, my God. You know, it's in this stressful period for this criminal enterprise known as the Catholic Church Incorporated that the truth of the madness of these creatures is just leaking out all over the place. demons and satans and making devils, making the priests rape children and ooh. Is he referring to now or now plus 50 years back or now plus millennia back? The exorcist went on to note that Satan tempts holy men. Quote, and so we should not be surprised if priests too fall into temptation. Temptation? Is that what you call raping little boys? That's called temptation. He says, they also live in the world and can fall like men of the world. Ah! The devil. The devil is striding the halls of Vatican City, grabbing the penises of the priests and grabbing the butts of little boys and jamming them together. Ah! Ah! That's what he's saying. Well, that'll cost us about four affiliates, won't it? Eric writes, Dear Mike, in America, socialist is an insulting epithet, usually spouted by people who have no clue what the word means. As to whether or not Obama's a socialist, I think in some ways perhaps he is, but I don't see that as a bad thing. You know who else could be called a socialist? How about Benjamin Franklin? Benjamin Franklin initiated socialist policies that are in place in America to this day. Socialized mail service, socialized public schools, socialized public libraries, socialized fire departments. Funny, you never see those teabag morons protesting against any of these. Eric, that's because the teabag morons are morons. Of course they don't. They have no idea. Why don't you ask one of them, hey, what did Ben Franklin do?
He invented electricity, didn't he? Isn't he the one that invented electricity?
I filled in my our census form the other day. I'm not sure what census form we got. Maybe it was a trick one. We what? We got the short one. Oh, you get a short or a long, and we got a short? Well, I don't like that. All they asked on my census form, all they wanted to know were the names and ages of the people that lived in this house, whether or not we owned or rented, what sort of house it was, our ages. Yeah, that's about it. It took all of about 5 minutes to fill in. And the only reason it took me that long is because my hand was shaking. I was afraid that something awful was going to happen. Now, according to the New York Times, the Republicans are up to their dirty tricks again. These filthy bastards, they really are. 50% of American households have mailed in their 10-year headcount form so far. Now, the Times points out that there are ersatz census forms mailed out this year by the Republican National Committee and the National Republican Congressional Committee. It's a fundraising bit. On the envelope, it says, do not destroy an official document. Inside, these fake census questions seem intended to reinforce respondents' conservative views. Some of the questions are like, do you believe the huge, costly Democrat passed stimulus bill has been effective in creating jobs or stimulating America's economy? It asks questions like that, and then it goes ahead and asks for a contribution. In a show of good sense, the Times says, both houses of Congress have decided that there ought to be a law against such deceptive mailings. The bill sent last week to Obama will require any mailing marked census to show the sender's true name and address and have a prominent disclaimer that has nothing whatsoever to do with the Census Bureau. Now, this will cause the teabaggers to scream. This will cause Hannity, little filthy little incipient terrorist. This will cause Beck, this frothing, foaming at the mouth idiot. This will cause them all to go, oh, they can't do that. They can't do that. What do you mean? What do you mean that they have to have the return address? What do you mean it has to say where they're coming from? That's so they can be tracked down and sent to the FEMA camps or something. We'll be right back.
Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free.
radio right from the left. It's More Mike Malloy.
It's come through a hole in the air from those gnats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war,
it's about 10 before the hour. Okay, folks, spare me the emails about Sean Hannity using sarcasm or irony. I don't give a tinker's damn. I disagree with you. You don't know Sean Hannity. I do. Hannity meant exactly what he said. And stop with the insulting emails. Okay, I get enough of that from the right-wingers. If you're a listener of this program, you know, what the hell are you sending me stuff trying to point out to me that Sean Hannity was being ironic or sarcastic? Even if he were, that's even worse. So, stop already. Monica Potts blogs somewhere. And today, she had this posted, I think yesterday. Obama has a plan to open some areas off the East Coast and in the Arctic Sea to offshore drilling. The areas were obviously off limits. Were previously off limits, and they would be evaluated by the Interior Department before leases were given, according to stories in New York Times, Washington Post. This is presumably meant to get conservative support for climate legislation. This is from the New York Times. The Senate is expected to take up a climate bill in the next few weeks, the last chance to enact such legislation before midterm election concerns take over. Mr. Obama and his allies in the Senate have already made significant concessions on coal and nuclear power to try to win votes from Republicans and moderate Democrats. The new plan now grants one of the biggest items on the oil industry's wish list, access to vast areas of the outer continental shelf for drilling. He never learns, does he? He never learns. Monica writes, because that works so well with a health care bill, there will be a lag, and there will likely be some areas with oil where drilling won't be economically feasible, so it's possible little drilling will take place as a result of this measure. And it's not like Obama. It's not like Obama said he didn't support offshore drilling when he was a candidate. But this announcement is still a disappointment. The gains are likely to be small, the risks are huge, and it puts politics over evidence. Yeah, that's true. And I just wonder, does Obama really think, you know, Boner, John Boner, the first thing out of his suntanned mouth, and isn't that freak going out of his head because there's going to be a tax now on suntan studio. What do you call those things? Those coffins. Tanning beds. There's going to be a tax on when you go. What does Boner think? Does he think people don't understand that he's from Ohio where the sun never shines except in August? And he shows up with this man tan look, this kind of weird, freaky. I guess everybody's supposed to look at him and not say, boy, you look like a dumbass. Where was I? I forget. Oh, about the offshore drilling. So Obama, in the past couple of weeks, he's granted licenses, or he's asking the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to handle licenses. A couple of the Southern Company, they're going to build two new nuclear reactors not far from where we live. And now the offshore drilling, and that's supposed to mollify or pacify these filthy, disgusting, murderous Republicans. I just don't understand why Obama keeps thinking. I guess it's his nature. He believes in reconciliation. You know, he believes in those Christian ideas of love your neighbor. Well, those aren't Christian ideas. Those are Christ's ideas. So we've been told. Well, they're not even Christ's ideas. That idea, the golden rule, is in every philosophy or religion or humanist point of view. It's also probably in our genetic code. Not anymore. Now it's kill your neighbor. But, you know, back in the day, a few million years ago, when, of course, nothing existed back then because the planet's only 8 or 9,000 years old. But let's pretend. A few million years ago, the idea of doing to others as you would have them doing to you was necessary for survival, right? But, Mr. President Obama, you have got to understand something. The Republicans want to see you gone, and it doesn't matter how. Defeated electorally, rendered impotent because you have no support in the House or the Senate, or murdered. They don't care. They don't care. Every single Republican office holder and every single right-wing talker in this country would like to see the President of the United States dead. And they want to see it done by a, I don't know, a teabagger, because then they can take responsibility for it privately, not out in public. Oh, if something were to happen, can you see Glenn Beck? Can you see that suicide and sucker? Can you just see him? Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no. Oh, I can't believe this. Our president was assassinated. Ah! Oh, he was assassinated. And what's his name? Limbaugh.
Well, you know, I've been saying for a long time that, you know, the president was setting himself up as a target. If he wouldn't listen to me.
And Hannity. Hannity? Way to go. That was a Timothy McVeigh wannabe. Applause, 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 applause. Where can I go to steal more money from the widows and orphans of soldiers? Dead soldiers. Dead soldiers. But right-wing America loves these guys, huh? All right, we're out of here. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stick around. We might take some phone calls early tonight. So put your dialing finger on, you know. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm Jim Cook.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Show. I got a request here, so I'm going to honor it. In the first hour, I read a letter from a guy named Joe. And here it is again. Hi, Mike. Last night I attended a thrilling Paul McCartney concert at the Hollywood Bowl. About halfway through the concert, Paul played the song Blackbird and explained its musical and lyrical origins. Apparently, the song was inspired by the civil rights movement in the U.S. during the 60s. Paul talked about the strength of African Americans during that time, and how they persevered until today, when finally an African-American was elected president. This led into the next song, a new one called Sing the Changes, which he dedicated to President Obama and the plight of African-Americans in this country. During the song, he flashed a couple of animated images of Obama on the screen above the stage. This apparently didn't play too well with some of the more conservative in the crowd, as I heard a few people yell out things during the song. Amazingly, a large group of about 10 people who had paid hundreds of dollars to see a living legend perform left during the song. After a few moments, I realized that McCartney did this on purpose. He knew that by giving tribute to Obama as a result of the civil rights movement of the 60s, he would alienate the racists in the crowd. Luckily, his plan worked, and these conservative morons left the Hollywood Bowl. Paul then continued to play for another hour and a half some of the best live songs I've ever heard in my life. But then again, these conservatives probably would have been just as mad if they had to sit through his playing Give Peace a Chance. Paul obviously hates racists so much he doesn't even want them in the audience. Neither do I. I hope the spirit of the 60s can come back one day and a new generation can revel in the non-prejudiced ideas of the time. Well, I don't... Yeah, well, me too, Joe. It'd be nice, but I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. Diane in Pittsburgh. Mike, those people walking out of the McCartney concert because of their pure racist feelings kind of reminds me of those other principled buttheads that dumped their expensive French wines down the gutter because the French wouldn't support the giggling murderers' filthy war. Same people. Diane in Pittsburgh. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. And then this is from RJ. Regarding Satan and the pedophiles, you know, the Catholic, continuing breakdown of the Catholic Church is now the fault of Satan. Satan. The devil made him do it. These Catholic folks should read Epicurus, who said, "Is God willing to prevent evil, but not able? Then he's not omnipotent. Is he able but not willing, then he is malevolent. Is he both able and willing? Then from where does evil come? Is he neither able nor willing? Then why call him God? Is God not more powerful than Satan?" Epicurus. I wonder how long after he said that he was beheaded. Let's do some phone calls. 877-996-2556 if you would like to join in. Oh, excuse me, Greg in Florida suggests using the Patriot Act against Hannity. Mike, you're right. It's time to start using the same laws that these right-wingers like Hannity cheered on when Bush was in office, like the Patriot Act, to arrest their asses now. I love the irony in that. People were detained for wearing anti-war T-shirts or having anti-Bush bumper stickers under Bush. And now an ignorant, insane hypocrite like Hannity can get away with referencing McVeigh in public. What Hannity said about McVeigh is nothing less than advocating domestic terrorism, whether or not he was being facetious. It's time to use some of Bush, Cheney, Ashcroft, and Gonzalez's laws against these people before somebody really does wind up dead, like the children at the daycare center in Oklahoma City. Greg in Florida. Yeah, they don't care. These right-wingers, dead children, dead soldiers, matters not. Hannity sees dead soldiers as a revenue stream. Hey, I got an idea. You know all these dead soldiers? Oh, man, here's what we'll do. Let's have concerts. Yeah, we'll get Ali North on this one because, you know, he looks good in his uniform, even though he's a psychopath. But he sure looks good, doesn't he? Huh? Even though he's a disgrace to the United States Marine Corps. But he looks good. So we'll get Ali to run it. And let's see. I'll do concerts. And we'll say, here's what we'll say. We'll say that all the money raised will go to the moms and no, not the moms and dads. Would go to the widows and the orphans. The widows and the orphans. Oh, my gosh. This is such a great idea. We'll have concerts. We'll sell tickets.
I'll get up there, of course, because, you know, I'm Sean Hannity. And, you know, I this is great, man. I'm going to make so much money off this. Now, we got to keep it hidden.
Got to keep it hidden. Let me see. We're going to contribute every single dime we collect to the widows and orphans. College fund. That's it. College fund. Oh, damn, this is good. Get Ali on the phone. One of you schmucks get Ali on the phone. Quick, get him on the phone, all right? Then, hello, Ali.
Yeah, Sean. I'm doing great. Yeah. I got
another one. Yeah, are you ready for this? Widows and orphans. No, 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 no. Soldiers, widows, and orphans. Yeah, Marines too. Yeah, yeah, no, we wouldn't leave them out. Yeah. Are you in? Huh? You are? All right. We're going to work on the details here at Fox Central, and I'll let you know, okay? Ollie, okay? Oh, my God. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He's drunk already. Okay, Ollie. Talk to you later. This is so good. This is so good. That's the Sean Hannity I know. Skank. Richard is in Whidbey, Isle, Washington. Hey, Richard.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
Still on the perch. Still on the perch.
Okay.
Anyway, haven't fallen off yet. I saw where your governor wants to impeach your attorney general for refusing to spend taxpayer money on
fighting the
lawsuit against the health care.
That's right.
Unfortunately, our attorney general in Washington State, of all places, jumped on that lawsuit because he's presumptive going to be the 2012 Republican governor nominee next election. So that's why he's jumping on that. But I couldn't believe you're going to actually want to impeach your attorney general for not using spare money for, you know.
Well, let me tell you the irony.
Right there, when I hear your book, here's what I think most state budgets are.
Richard, you're fading really badly. We're getting like every third or fourth word. So let me answer you off the phone. Thanks for checking in. Here in Georgia, like in a lot of states, the attorney general, the governor, lieutenant governor, these constitutional officers are all elected independent of each other. We have a situation here. The only statewide elected Democrat that we still have is our attorney general. And his name is, Thurbert Baker. And Thurbert Baker happens to be an African American. Everybody else in positions of power in Georgia are white. But Thurbert Baker won a statewide election, black man, won in Georgia, which is almost unheard of in this filthy redneck state. But Thurbert Baker is planning a run for governor, right? You figure you're way ahead of me, right? Because our current governor, who is ending his second term, this wonderful chicken farmer, Sonny Perdue, not the Perdue of the chickens, but Sonny Perdue, our governor, Sonny Perdue, he can't succeed himself another time. So mostly we have white people running, Democrats and Republicans. But Thurbert Baker, the Republicans understand this is a guy who won statewide election, and he's an African-American in Georgia. Uh-oh, what does that tell you? So got to get rid of him. So the governor said, we want to investigate. We want you to file suit to keep Georgia out of this. And Thurbert Baker said, there's no constitutional reason for me to do it. I can't do it. So now the white boys in the Georgia General Assembly trying to figure out a way to impeach the Negro.
And Oliver North married William C. Corden Cooper to a little Tehran. And the Ayatollah aboard a nuclear warship. If he dies, he wants to go out in style. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of some human waste dumped in the Nile. But one thing is certainly true. No one here knows what to do. And I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Email from Irish Dave that says Timothy McVeigh apparently was a Roman Catholic. He didn't seem to be too devout. He did receive the sacrament of extreme unction. That's the healing healing of the sick, I think. But I guess it's part of the last rites where, once you go through this ritualistic hog's knot, you are supposed to shoot through no matter how many children you've killed or how many people you've blown into kingdom come, right? So Timothy McVeigh got extreme unction and Adolf Hitler was never excommunicated. Great. Kevin in Jacksonville Beach. Mike, the Hannity remarks were not sarcasm, but a continued call for violence and intimidation. What is amazing is that he no longer finds it necessary to speak in code. The right has advanced from dog whistle to bullhorn. I think we need to give them the middle of the country and the fence they've been asking for. Kevin. Oh, man, I agree with you. Jesus, do I agree with you. Janice is in Albuquerque, listening on KBQ. Hey, Janice.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Or should I say, hello, comrade?
Well, go ahead. Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Go ahead. Say hello, comrade.
Hello, comrade.
Hello, Mrs. Comrade.
Well, I just wanted to say first that my friend and I are sitting here. We love your show. We listen to your show all the time.
Well, thank you. It's very kind.
But, you know, Hannity talks about Timothy McVeigh like as if this radical Muslims talk about people that blow themselves up in marketplaces.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's they don't even go through the trouble of trying to be
subtle.
What do you call it? Inconspicuous about it.
Mm-hmm.
So my plan is, why they want to secede from the union? Let them do it. They can go to Texas, and then just let Texas drop into the Gulf of Mexico. How about that?
Well, you know, I do believe. Thanks, Janice. I do believe that the United States of America is going to become the Federated States of America at some point. Probably not in my lifetime, because I would hate to see the bloodshed. I certainly hope not in my children or grandchildren's lifetimes, because I don't want them to see the bloodshed. But I think eventually it's going to happen. There are too many crazy people floating around in this country. They're all Republicans. They're all conservatives. They're all right-wingers. A little good news, if you're pro-union, remember, Obama had to give, 15 recess appointments the other day. And two of those appointments were to, union lawyers who were appointed to the National Labor Relations Board. And now business groups are warning, oh, business groups like the Chamber of Commerce, oh no. They're warning that the National Labor Relations Board will kick quickly into a pro-union mode. Oh, no. How could this be? You know, after about 25 years of being anti-union. Oh, pro-union. Oh. According to the Times, business groups fear that the appointment of Craig Becker, a lawyer for the AFL-CIO and the SEIU, will push the board to favor unions on dozens of issues, like whether companies should be required to allow union organizers on their property during organized drives. Oh, no! Don't allow union organizers! Didn't you see that movie? Didn't you see that movie? Didn't you see it? Norma Rae? Oh, my God! Don't allow union organizers! That's our property! We're the National Association of Manufacturers and the Chamber of Commerce. That's our property. I'm talking about the workers. They belong to us. We just dispose of them whenever we want to. We destroy their lives. We move the factory over here, over there. We bring in new ones. Unions? Oh! Randall Johnson, an executive with the United States Chamber of Commerce, said, quote, Becker will bring a very strong pro-union, anti-employer animus to decision-making on the board. Our view is that he will resolve things almost invariably in favor of unions, as opposed to resolving things invariably in favor of members of the Chamber of Commerce, right? Idiot. Business organizations also worry that the board will revamp the rules for unionization elections by engaging more than ever before in broad rulemaking.
rulemaking. Oh, no, that would be like a rule about how much arsenic can be in the water, a rule about how much fecal material can be in peanuts. Oh, no. Oh, this is bad. This is bad.
In that union, Marion Brown. Well, I'm gonna sleep in a union coffin. I'm gonna sleep in a union coffin. Way
Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey-free zone.
25 before the hour. National Labor Relations Board, by the way, in case you didn't know, it was created by the National Labor Relations Act. It was one of the FDR-era attempts to level the playing field a little bit. This is before there was minimum wage. This is before I think there were any child labor laws in place. Predatory capitalism will kill you. It will eat your children. It will drive you into the gutter. There has to be, as long as we're going to live in a system where any sort of capitalism is in play, there has to be heavy-duty restrictions with really, really strong penalties for the violators. And National Labor Relations Board was not set up to give a break to the ruling class. The ruling class already had all the breaks they could want. They were, you know, used to sending our people into wars, used to stealing other people's natural resources, used to exploiting labor in this country. Henry Ford, that rotten old bastard who finally got to the point where he's paying people, what, a dollar a day or a dollar an hour or something, and then he goes and works with other white industrialists to get the Nazis and Hitler on the road to murdering Jews and destroying Europe. I mean, the right-wingers, capitalists in this country, really do have a sordid, filthy history. I don't care whether you like that fact or not, and you right-wing pigs that don't have a clue as to what your own history is, you know, it's understandable why you don't, because you're so damn ignorant. But the National Labor Relations Board was set up to stop the most predatory of these predatory bastards, to make it a little bit easier for a working man, and at the time it was mostly working men, or working women, to have at least a chance to organize. So with all the pro-business organizations that there are, that these filth on right-wing talk radio and television support without a moment's hesitation, you have one or two organizations that are there for working people. And the filth on the political right in this country act as though those one or two organizations are somehow a threat to corporate America. Somehow they're a threat to the wealthy getting wealthier. I'm too tired to get all head up about that. Among the areas where unions hope that the Obama board, there's now three Democrats and one Republican on the NLRB. And what the unions are hoping is that the Obama board will take a new tack. In one of the areas, a Bush-era ruling that graduate teaching assistants, my brother did that at Ohio State years ago, that they're not employees and therefore don't have a right to unionize. Labor leaders hope the Obama board will reverse a ruling that many senior nurses and supervisors, rather than rank and file, reverse a ruling that said senior nurses are supervisors and therefore they couldn't unionize. That was a Bush era. That was jammed down the throats of nurses. That decision has hamstrung unionization drives at hospitals by leading to litigation about which nurses can unionize. Are you a supervisor or are you just a nurse? I mean, it's insane. And the Times says one thing labor and business agree on is that the board's deadlock will soon end. Since January 2008, the board has had just one Democratic member, its chairwoman, and one Republican member. Now there'll be three Democrats and one Republican. About 220 cases are pending at the board, half on important controversial issues that the two current members have not tackled. About 60 cases the members have deadlocked. So, not that unions are going to make a stunning comeback and represent 35% of the workforce again. What are they down to now? 8%? But it's a favorite whipping boy, isn't it? Of these right-wing half-wits. The right-winger says, oh, well, the unions. What about the unions? Oh, the unions are, you know what I say to that. You know what I say to that. Daniel is in Miami listening on XM. Hey, Daniel. Dante, I mean. Hey, Dante.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Nice to talk to you. Good. I was hoping you could help me with some question I have here. I have a listen to your show a lot. I have a good handful of conservative friends, you know, overly good people. We have a healthy debate with stuff. And going back to what you had said earlier with regards to, you know, the people who are typically against this health care, Obama's idea of health care, you know, more racist in nature than anything. They had an interesting point that they brought up, and I was just wanting to hear your comments on it. Was
okay.
If the majority, at least from any poll that I found, I mean, I'm for healthcare. I voted for Obama, and I think he's doing a great job. And if the majority, I couldn't find any polls that suggested that the majority of the country was for this healthcare. Majority are for healthcare reform, but maybe not particularly this bill. And the racist rhetoric that seems to kind of go around is their point is if the majority of the country voted for Obama and the majority of the country is against this health care or his health care bill, how could you label the people against the bill as racist or anyone against it as being racist? It seems to, and it concerns me a little bit because I know these guys, they're good friends. I've known them forever. They're not, at least these particular, aren't racist, and they're offended by it. And I didn't really have a response. You know, I just couldn't find
okay,
it.
Okay, all right.
I
well,
scoured it.
Right. Well, I'll try to answer it for you, Dante. In the first place, remember, this is health insurance reform with the emphasis on insurance. The reason a lot of liberals, like me, oppose it is because it's nonsense. It's a handoff to corporate America. If we really wanted health insurance reform in this country, it should have gone to single payer, like the French model, where people can get their insurance through the government. Or if they want to, they can go ahead and buy private insurance. But everybody would have the right to single payer health insurance, and of course that didn't happen. I think one of the reasons the majority of people are not in favor of this is because, first of all, the liberals will say this is a scam. The Republicans, rank and file who are not in favor because they have been lied to. Come on. Come on, Dante. How many times did you hear about death panels and, you know, they're gonna, retarded, I think it was the word that Sarah Palin used, retarded children, put them in front of a panel and decide whether or not they should live or die. How many people were told by the right wing that this would end their Medicare? It's going to end everything. Look, we had a year of nothing but blatant lies being put out by just about every aspect of media. Sadly, in this country now, the majority of people get what they think is news from right wing talk and right wing television. They think it's news. It's not news. It's opinion. It's lies. It's distortion. It's misinformation, disinformation. You can't tell these people that. The viewership of Fox News is up 50% over last year. It's the only network that's had that kind of an increase, which speaks volumes about the depth of the ignorance in this country. So when you have a steady diet of lies and propaganda, you know, I hate to use a shop-worn example, but look what happened to the Germans. Look what happened to them. They were convinced that the reason they lost World War I is because of the Jews. And on and on and on and on. When you have an entire media working the same angle like we have in this country, right-wing media, people begin to lose their bearings. They become unmoored, unhinged, and start to believe this stuff. And then to top it all off, when you have so-called responsible media that doesn't refute this stuff point by point. You know, so all the commentators on CNN, MSNBC, and New York Times, Washington Post, all the respectable, quote-quote, news outlets, did nothing. While these lies, they gave these rat bastards equal time. They would send a camera crews to cover these stupid-ass teabagger events where a bunch of brain-dead individuals get together and listen to someone tell them that, yeah, they're going to be death panels that put your granny in the grave. I mean, this is madness, okay? Now, as far as being racist, none of these thugs came out of the dirt until Barack Obama, a black man, got elected president. They didn't come out of the dirt when the Bush administration instituted with Medicare this prescription drug plan that set the country back hundreds of billions of dollars, and they didn't fund it. They just left it out. Okay, well, here you go. In order to bankrupt Medicare. None of these teabag scum ever showed up. Where was Hannity and Beck and the rest of these piglets? Well, I'll tell you where. As long as the Republican administration was doing it, the Republicans could deliver dead babies to the doorstep of every single family in America. And Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and the rest of these pigs would never say a word. Never say a word.
Well, you know, they had to die.
So that's the answer to your question, Dante. When you have propaganda in a country that's already functionally illiterate, politically illiterate, as this country is, and you have 24/7 propaganda from these right-wing rat bastards, it works. Dig up Joseph Goebbels and ask him. It works. We'll be right back.
Right inside the night, I'm waiting for the light. Seems like I'm in the middle. Yeah, hey. Working for something that I can't touch and sometimes can't even believe in.
Truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
It's 10 before the hour. You know, if you don't think these people are racist, here's the latest example. There's a guy, well, I got this from Sirius, who wrote in, Mike, here he sent me a link. From Huffington Post. Mike, here's one more crazy cracker who is having a Negro president freak out and OD. You'd think he would have learned something from Captain Huttery and the gang to not bring the new world order down on his own neck. I'm an anarchist who doesn't give a fig about the U.S. government, but I am getting a bang out of this parade of seditious idiots off with their heads in the village square. You know it is exactly what they expect to happen to them. Then what he sent me, this guy, I watched this today. We tried to get the sound, couldn't get it. Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin. He's an active duty lieutenant colonel, army physician. He has refused to obey any orders from his commanding officers, including Barack Obama, until Obama produces his birth certificate. He's one of these birther freaks. Yo! Hey, dumbass Colonel Lakin, that is so last year, you idiot! Lakin made a video released by the right-wing American Patriot Foundation.
This is what he said, quote, any reasonable person looking critically at the evidence currently in the public domain would have questions about President Obama's claim to be a natural-born citizen. I will disobey my orders to deploy to Afghanistan because I, and I believe all servicemen and women and the American people, deserve the truth about President Obama's constitutional eligibility to the office of the presidency and the commander-in-chief.
Oh, my God. Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, a jackass if ever one existed. Watch this guy go berserk and start killing people on a military base like the last one did, right? He says this marks the first time during his 18 years in the Army that he has chosen to disobey, quote, what I believe are illegal orders, end quote. Evidently, he didn't feel the need to personally verify the citizenship of the three previous commanders-in-chief, right? That's because they were white! Racist jerks. What does Sirius say? One more crazy cracker who is having a Negro president freak out. Isn't that the truth? Every one of these guys. And you know, the thing that impresses me, regardless of his political point of view or what he's doing, President Obama, what impresses me is how absolutely, utterly cool he is about all this. Have you noticed that? Nothing seems to shake up Obama. I mean, if I were the president of the United States and I happen to be an African American and I heard some of this stuff, I would invite all the teabaggers to Washington for a conciliation meeting, and I'd invite them into a great big hall, and I'd invite Beck and the rest of these people, and up in the corners of the hall, be a big hall, hold about 20,000, I would put machine gun emplacements, you know, like the United States Marine Corps did in the Spanish-American War to the Philippine rebels. You know, they got all the people in the village into the crater of a volcano, a quiet volcano, and then they set up around the edges, the perimeter of this volcano, this new invention, the newest in the line of weapons in early 20th century. They were called Gatling guns. They wanted to see how, you know, how they could fire without the barrel melting. And this is what Smedley Butler and Mark Twain wrote about this. So I would do that. If I were the first Negro president of the United States of America. And yeah, I use the N-word there advisedly, but I have permission. Whereas some of you white people don't have permission. I have permission. But I would do that. Invite them all. Say, look, tell you what. We're going to break out some fried chicken and watermelon. Maybe some grits and fat back and we're going to get down, and I'm just going to tell you people, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want y'all to come because I'm going to resign and turn the presidency over to the type of person that should be leading the country. That's a white man, Joe Biden. I like Joe. Right, Joe? Can I touch you, Joe? Okay. And then invite all these suckers in. Have about 20 machine gun emplacements up in the rafters. And invite them all in and give them all an RC Coca-Cola and a moon pie. Let them all sit down. Y'all want some watermelon? And then invite Hannity and Beck up to the podium and the pig man and just tell them, look, what we're going to do, Sean, when this is all over, we'll give you all the names of all the veterans, the dead veterans, so you can go con their wives and children out of more money. That'll bring Hannity. Beck, we could say to Beck, Glenn, we're going to bring you, we're going to give you a three-dimensional lighted chalkboard, and you can just do all kinds of things with it. Yeah, you know. And Hannity, Limbaugh, give him a new bottle of OxyContin and a new bottle of Viagra, and tell him that we're going to send him all-expense-paid sex tour of Thailand. And make sure that there are all kinds of little Catholic boys around for him to talk politics with. Then when we get them all in there, the commander-in-chief can do whatever the commander-in-chief does. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Third hour of the Malloy program tonight. Thanks for tuning in or hanging around. Whatever you've been doing for the past 2 hours, thank you. And let me remind you, now you can get 1.9% APR financing on all 2010 Mini Cooper models. For details, visit MiniUSA.com/info. Mini Cooper. Edson in San Diego writes in, Mike, I love your radio program. You're the best. I listen to it every single one. Right? That's the setup. Here comes the punch. But I must tell you that your reference to your having permission to use words like Negro, while some of us do not, is pretty offensive. If you insist on saying things like this, please let us know who really has the authority to grant such permission, how we can identify them. You want to see their birth certificate? And how did they get the authority? And why? It all sounds like not much more than a cheesy attempt at basically destructive reverse racism to me, frankly. Best regards, Edson Hendricks in San Diego. There's no such thing, first of all, Edson, as reversed racism. All right? Racism is racism. Working backwards from your email here. Why did black folk give me permission? I guess because I'm trusted. I'm one of the few whites they trust, the ones that gave me permission. How did they get that authority? Because they're black? Well, they're not black. They're just brown. Some of them are even brown. They're just kind of palish thingy. Please let us know who really has the authority to grant such permission. Anyone who happens to have at any time in their life been referred to or used the term Negro. And pretty offensive. It would only be offensive to a right-wing person like you. Now, it must have killed you to write in, I love your radio program, you're the best. I listen to it every single one. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I've got one answer about that, Edson. You need to grow up a little bit, all right? If you listen to this program, every single one, you lying skank, you would know who gave me permission. Man. I listen every single one. That's why I'm asking you such dumbass questions. Who do we have here? Robert's in Orlando. Hey, Robert, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain.
Good.
It's my first evening listening to your program.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, it is, and I love it.
Yeah, good.
Where is that echo coming from? Is that just from me or from you?
I think it's from you. What do you love most about the program?
Well, I've never listened to it before, but I like your views on the Tea Party.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, I think the Tea Party happens to be a... they have this situation going on, if I may, where they can't handle a black person being in office. You can't say it, but I can.
I can't say what?
You can't say it, but I can.
Robert, I can't say what?
No, yo, yo, yo.
Okay, never mind. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, Robert. I have no idea. You don't listen to the program. Well, you said this is your first time listening, and I felt a lizard running across the table there. He had too much to drink? Is that what it was he was drinking? I can't say that. Robert, I can't think of a night when I haven't said that. So, you know, you need to stay with Sports Talk Radio. Dennis is in Santa Fe listening to KTRC. Hey, Dennis.
How you doing, Mike?
All right. How are you?
I'm doing great. I haven't talked to you since the old Labor Radio days.
Oh, my God. IE America.
Yeah.
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 That was great fun, wasn't it?
It was indeed fun. But I still appreciate your moderate, mild-mannered approach. And I always have. But I want to take a different tack to this idea of the Tea Party being motivated by racism, or more particularly that they wouldn't be out here if it wasn't for a black president.
Right.
I mean, clearly Obama being black makes a great organizing tool.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's been the situation since he won the election. These white conservatives are wetting their pants. They can't stand it.
Right. But my point is that I think, well, for 30 years the corporatists and the conservatives have been destroying the middle class. And at the end of Bush, in all this time, they've convinced the middle class that it was good for them. And at the end of Bush, I think they finally figured out, remember, McCain said the fundamentals are still strong, and basically he got laughed off the stage.
Right.
I think the fear is now, with these people who've been doing this for 30 years, that the public, the middle class, is actually going to figure out what happened. And the only thing they can do to keep that from happening is to get them so mad they can't see what's happening to them.
That's good.
So I think if it was Hillary, it would be something. She'd still be a communist, socialist, whatever.
Right.
And remember, the example I use is John Kerry. 45 years ago, they actually mocked his war record.
Mm.
Because whoever is a Democrat now, they're going to have to do this too. They're going to have to whip up the anger, keep people from thinking.
That's
so
good.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right on, Dennis. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Great to be black, because it makes it easier. But if it was the most pristine white guy they could find, he'd still be a socialist communist, because they cannot let the middle class see what the conservative policies of 30 years have done to them.
Yeah, and that what they've done to them is destroyed them.
Completely.
Yeah.
Or almost completely.
All right.
Well, anyway, that's it. Thanks.
Dennis, good points, man. I think you're absolutely right on. Good points. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you checking in. You know, I still get emails and phone calls from people that say, teabaggers are racist? What are you talking about? I don't think they're racist. Look, it doesn't really matter what you think. You might think the earth is flat, but guess what? It's not. All you have to do is look at the bagger rallies. Look at the racist stuff. Look at the nooses and the references to Barack Obama and caricatures of black people. Look at the stuff where they refer to his wife's heritage as being ape. You know, I mean, come on. If you want to be a bagger, be a bagger. Go ahead. You know, whatever you want to do, go ahead. It's a dead movement. It is. You know, we made a lot of references to the teabaggers and the brown shirts. Well, there's a little bit different, of course. Most teabaggers are female. Most of the brown shirts were male, bully boys, drunks, ruffians. Most of the teabaggers, most, are female. They are middle-aged or older. They draw money from the government. They were the people back in the boomer generation who didn't smoke pot, didn't get laid, didn't go out on drinking parties, didn't travel to Europe, backpack around. They were the ones who were told by their parents and their church that they had to stay home and be good girls, and completely stole from them their individuality. So along comes some maniac like Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity, and they awaken the 18-year-old that wasn't allowed to be a hippie back in the 60s. And so this is the answer. We want
the Constitution.
Yeah, well, what part of the Constitution is missing?
Big parts.
Yeah, well, what parts? Anything in particular?
Taxes.
Oh, I see. Taxes are missing.
No, we pay too much taxes.
Well, do you want to give up your Social Security and your Medicare?
You keep your hands. You keep the government's hands off my, you know, thing. I don't like Obama. Let me look on the card here. He's a Nazi.
Oi.
I'm begging you to stay.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
Okay, to the diphthong in San Diego wants to know who gave me permission to use the Negro word. Here's two. I, Jared, a black man, give Mike Malloy permission to use the word Negro anytime he damn well pleases, especially if it upsets dumb crackers who email his radio show. Why? Because I like him, and I have been called the N-word. Jared. Here's another one. You have my permission. Peace and love, my brother Vince, and his last name. Okay, so person in San Diego. Oh, what's this? More coming in? All right. Uh-huh, okay, there's another one. What's this? Mike, I look at you as a brother. I'm a black man that finds you to be one of the righteous. Your wife has a very good man, and I have listened to you for 5 years. It's rare to find a white male like you. Most whites would think I was militant, but what I hate most is the unrighteous. Yes, they are racist. Most are not honest like you. You say from the heart, most have no hearts. I have no religion like you. Because I read, I know why you use words, trying to teach your dead brothers and sisters their mindset, the sickness they hold inside. Most do not know that they're sick by the lies they believe are true. Emery. And the subject line to that is, just the word Negro. So there's all the permission that I think I need. If you're an African American and you want to resend my permission, send me an email.
I know. How am I going to know that you're not some white person, right?
You know, Bart Kopp gets this all the time, too. Our good friend Bart Kopp over at BartKopp.com. And if you don't go to BartKopp.com, B-A-R-T-Kopp, BartKopp.com, if you don't go there, you are missing one of the best websites out there. But Bart Kopp gets accused of being a self-hating white man all the time. Bart Kopp lives in Oklahoma. That's where he has his online forum. It's been there forever. Bart Kopp is one of the oldest out there. If you're not familiar with it, please go. But he sent me, he gets emails that he calls monkey mail. This is from right wing, you know, flying monkeys and, you know, screeching and banging the bars of their cage. And he sent me one the other day. He said, you got mentioned in one of our monkey mails, and sure enough, this woman had woman named Shirley had written to send an email to Bart and asked Bart why he hated the white race so much, since he was a white man. It was obvious that he hated the white race, and she said in her email, just like Mike Malloy, he hates white people too. You people are so damn sick. It's you know, hardly worth the time giving you any acknowledgement. This is interesting. Mike, today our president was in Portland, Maine, to deliver a speech on health care. The weather up here was beautiful. And for the first time since his election, I had no interest at all in hearing what he had to say, or even driving into the city to experience his visit. I decided to do some yard work and sit in the sun rather than listening to his speech. The reason? Well, I'm beginning to see him as I've seen most presidents during my lifetime, another corporate puppet, another corporate mouthpiece. Yeah, he speaks a hell of a lot better than President Chucklenuts, which kind of makes him even more dangerous in some aspects than Bush. He's extremely persuasive. I even bought the first act, but no longer. Or I even bought the act at first, but no longer. And that brings me to your latest rants against the teabag freaks of this country. You see, I don't see them as a threat like you do. I see them more as a bunch of ignorant jackasses with some guns. But I don't think of them as any kind of a threat. Now, I'm not talking about the Becks, Limbaughs, or Rileys. I'm talking about the base of these various groups. If the government so wished, they could squash these people like an overripe grape. That's why I don't spend that much time worrying about them. For the most part, they serve more as a diversion to those of us on the left. The teabaggers are almost like the car wreck we occasionally see on the highway, and we on the left are the rubberneckers. They call them the elite, the corporatists, the Freemasons, New World Order, whatever you want. They want us to focus on these groups right now. They own the media. They own the media whores like Beck and Limbaugh, who know exactly what buttons to push to whip these right-wing extremists to violence. They know that pitting all of us at the bottom of the pyramid against each other is just how they can continue to hold on to power. Because of all of us at the bottom have no power, being fractioned, but if the day comes when we all come together, well, that's what scares them. We have the numbers in this pyramid scheme, but we're not united in the same cause, and that's the way they like to keep it. All I'm trying to say is that if we on the left need to stay focused on our real enemy, the enemy that is driving this country over a cliff. Obama may be a Democrat in name, but he is continuing on with the same policies of Bush, Cheney, White House. He's a little more harder to criticize because of his skin color. He's almost the perfect president for the corporatists. He's a smooth talker who drives the extremes of both the left and the right crazy. Yet any kind of criticism can be spun into a racial slam. Okay, enough of that. You and Kathy enjoy the weekend. Tony in Maine. Thanks, Tony.
With the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This is from LJ, who writes, I listen to your show at night while driving my taxi. Glad you've cleaned up the language. You're much too intelligent for such verbiage. Anyway, I thought you might get a kick out of this short story. A man was being tailgated by a woman on a busy boulevard. Suddenly, the light in front of the man turned yellow, just in front of him. He decided to stop instead of gunning it and make it through the intersection. The tailgating woman behind him slammed on her brakes with purse, cell phone, and makeup kit bouncing to the floor. And in her frustration, instantly became furious and began honking her horn while screaming profanities at the top of her lungs to the annoyance of those at the intersection. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a loud, hard tap on her window and looked up to see a stern-faced police officer with his weapon in hand pointed at her. The officer ordered her to slowly exit the car, keeping her hands in plain sight. The officer took her to the police station, where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple hours, the jailer approached the cell and opened the cell door. She was escorted back to the booking desk, where she again met the arresting officer. Her personal effects were waiting at the booking desk. The officer embarrassingly said, "I'm very sorry, ma'am, for the mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were there blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you while screaming profanities. And then I noticed the chrome fish insignia attached to the trunk, the What Would Jesus Do back window sticker, the Choose Life plate stuck on your trunk, the God is Watching bumper sticker, the Follow Me to Sunday School chrome license tag holder, the wobbly 1960s peace sign in the back of the car. And frankly, well, I assumed you had stolen the car." Ah. That's a long story, LJ. I, Renzo, a homo, give Mike Malloy permission to use the homo word, because I have been called a homo, and I am one. I also bestow this permission in order to maximize the cultural dissonance of all listening crackers and dumb right-wingers who think it is an insult. I hope it causes them to think, and that it hurts more than usual. Renzo. Oh, wait a minute. What's this? Mike, this is from George. As a duly appointed representative of the Society of Militant African American Radio Talkers, SMART, I hereby confer upon you the unrestricted right, license, and privilege to use the appellation Negro whenever you deem necessary, appropriate, or just plain humorous. This proclamation also grants you the subsidiary right to continue to call out racism whenever and wherever you encounter it without restriction, as well as a license to use your intellect and insight to enlighten and delight. Excelsior, George. How do I know you're not a bunch of white people? Oh, here's another one. What's this? Mike, by authority of my Afro-Indian ancestors and the lost but not forgotten men and women who have perished under the weight of European settler xenophobia, I hereby grant you permission under strictest authority to use whatever language you deem appropriate to put right-wing neo-Confederate racists in check. From an ordained Gullah root man. Really? The angry Indian. I've known root ladies from the old neighborhood. I didn't know. I guess it would be root man, too. Here's another one. This is from Ryan. Mike, I too give you permission to use the word Negro. You and like many of your white counterparts actually understand the struggles that African Americans have endured in the United States. And your use of it, much like our use of the real N-word amongst one another, doesn't come from a place of hate. I listen as often as I can and support everything you're doing to help further the progressive movement and shine the spotlight on the hypocrisy and racism that's running rampant in our political and corporate ranks. I've attached video as evidence of my Negroness. I'm one of those pale ones you were talking about. Yeah, the one drop rule. You know, that's the crazy part. That's the crazy part. I read an essay a long time ago, or it might have been a riff from a comedy riff. But the idea of blackness is something that was pretty much, you know, degrees of blackness pretty much invented by whites in this country. The one drop rule. You know, here's Barack Obama for an example. You know, he's got one black parent and one white parent. And, you know, that means on his dad's side, going back, there's a whole bunch of African genetic material. On his mom's side, going way back, there's a whole bunch of European genetic material. Not that there's all that difference, but, you know, there it is. And yet he's referred to as an African-American. He's called B, a black, capital B, black. You know, my question is always, why? It just it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. First of all, it doesn't make a lot of sense to label. Not anymore. I mean, I guess during the slave days, of course, you would think that the people who owned slaves wouldn't have needed labels because there's no such thing as white slaves. I mean, you know, it is the one intractable problem in this country. It's never going to be resolved. It's like the Palestinians and the Jews in Israel. It's just never, ever, ever going to be resolved. And you don't have to be a genius to figure out the undercurrent of racism in this right-wing movement. It's always been there, but it could always be redirected to stopping people from voting. It could be redirected to stopping people from sitting down at a damn lunch counter to get a cheese sandwich. It could be redirected to stopping people from going into the whites-only section of a department store. It could be used to stop people who weren't white from getting an education. That's how it was redirected. So then the white power could stand up there and say, well, I'm not a racist. I believe in equal rights for everybody. Just, you know, y'all do yours over there and we'll do ours over here. If you know what I mean. Well, you know, you tell me, how many black folk, Republicans in the U.S. House or Senate, how many elected black people?
Well, Mike, that's because we don't have any black people in our neighborhoods. If we did, we'd probably elect one or two, you know.
Why would you do that?
Well, just to prove that we're not racist.
I have lived in this crap for 40 years, you know. Every time I get white folk, I don't hate white people. I really don't. I'm ashamed sometimes. But, you know, how could you not be? Especially when the issue of reparations. I love that one.
Well, I didn't own any slaves.
Oh. Okay. I don't want to get into it. I just don't want to get into it. If you know, you know. If you don't know, you're a fool, and nobody's going to be able to tell you. So, but I really appreciate the fact that most white people do not email me and get on me about this issue. They just, you know, leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Let it be. You know, just let it be. You have my permission as a confirmed Irish Catholic to use the word Mick? Yeah, that one's been used against me, too. Oh, wait a minute, one more here. Hi, Mike. I, as a middle-aged white man from Manhattan, give you permission to call black people Negro. A white man. Mark in Manhattan. All right, Mark. I don't know. It's just crazy. This one says, you, like me, wear mostly black, but I dare you to wear a pink shirt on video. I don't have a pink shirt. I'm sorry. That's just way too gay for me. You know, I just can't do it. Anyway, I forget what I was talking about. It was about the you know, the kind of language I use. Yeah, I will sideswipe into borderline racialist or ethnical language every once in a while. And like I said, people who know they understand what's what I'm attempting to do. As far as having permission, I got permission to talk the way I talk long before I ever got into talk radio. I got permission to do that back when I was in elementary school. And my friends would teach me how to play the dozens. And I got so good at it, I got my ass whipped one day. by one of my black friends. This is back in the day where no African-American, no Afro-American, you know, black folk were Negroes. And we were playing the dozens, and he would just beat me bad. And finally, I just let loose and said, well, at least my mama's not black. Woo! And I won't back down. Well, I know what's right. I got just one life. In a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground. And I won't back down. Now I won't back down. Before the hour, I, the software diplomat, give you permission to swear at any Microsoft product. I am a Microsoft certified software developer. I am familiar enough with the software to grant you this permission, William. That's great. You guys are great. That's great. And the Right Honorable Francis Bissayon of Montreal, Quebec, writes, I, as a Canadian, hereby absolve you of the binds of political correctness and verbal indecency. It's just too much. Just absolutely too much. All the permission granting. Thank you. Jim is in Huntington, West Virginia. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Mike. How you doing this evening?
I'm all right. How are you?
Oh, pissed off as ever, my friend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was reading about these people that call themselves Baptists, the Westboro Baptist Church, and their anti-gay group. They're coming to my home state of West Virginia, and
oh no,
damn it, I'm just livid.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Putting it mildly. As a Marine from '79 to '83, what they're doing to the men that we're bringing back and having to inter because of. Mm-hmm. Bush starting an illegal war. You know, these men went and did their duty, and they're coming home. Their families are grieving, and these idiots are out there picketing families while they grieve. What can we do?
I don't know. I don't know. This country is supposed to have the right of free speech, and I guess included in that right has to be the realization that some people are just stone insane. If you look at those people, you know, it's essentially, I think, just two families. This, what is it, Kathy? Wellsboro Baptist Church or Owensboro or something? Westboro Baptist Church. They pretty much have been disavowed by all Baptist organizations. And the old patriarch, the guy who runs it, is one of the scariest white men I have ever seen. And then his granddaughters and his children and the people that married into that family, it is bizarre. But someplace in the collective consciousness in this country, I guess, is the understanding that if you're going to have freedom of speech, you have to allow monsters like this to wander around. Now, I say monsters only because media didn't pay a whole lot of attention to them, and all they did was walk around saying God hates fags. I mean, that's bad enough. But now that they show up at the funerals of dead soldiers, then all of a sudden, there are lawsuits and this and that. And I think that speaks volumes about the relative worth media considers gay folk to be, but that's a whole different story. But showing up at these funerals, and it doesn't make any difference who is being who's being buried. The fact that it's a family matter, and to have these swine, these subhumans show up with their hateful signs. I don't know, Jim.
If it was one of my family members or a close friend or a a fellow Marine that I served with, or even anybody. I've been on the honor guard at the American Legion for years. But if it was somebody that was close to me, I'd be tempted to run them down with a hearse myself.
Oh, sure, sure.
That's just, you know, I'm not a man for, you know, violence like what we...
No, I know exactly what you mean. Every time I see those people on television, I want to grab that big one by his scrawny neck and just turn his face into something that doesn't resemble a face anymore. I'm serious. I can't help myself. I can't suppress stuff like that and pretend like, oh, well, you know, I'm above violence. The hell I am.
You and me both, brother.
I wish I were. I wish I were a much more enlightened or elevated human being, but I'm not. When I see something like that, you know, I always think about the stuff about Sarah Palin telling people if you see an Obama sticker on somebody's car, stop them and ask them how that change Yehopi thing is going. God help somebody, and I said this the other night, somebody here in Georgia who would stop me and you know, make a remark about some bumper sticker I had on my car that relates to an election that was held over a year ago. They would really be running the risk of some serious damage. And here in Georgia, you know, it is a defense. If you shoot somebody dead and you're arrested and charged with murder and you go to court, it is an accepted defense now because of state law that if they used provocative or fighting language, you can use that as a defense. It'll be up to the jury to decide whether or not the language, was strong enough. But
it falls under your self preservation, where you're afraid for your own life.
Right,
up
exactly.
In West Virginia, it's a very similar law up here, mm-hmm. that if something like that unfolds and you're in dire fear of your life or the life of someone else close by.
Right, right. Doesn't have to be a family member either.
You use lethal force to protect them, you're covered.
Right, exactly.
Now, the jury has to decide it, but the grand jury would, but...
And
I
hate to have to face that reality. For God's sake, it's not the Wild West. This isn't the 1840s, 1850s. This, you know, it's 2010. You'd think we were over this, but we're not. But these people, these Westboro Baptist church freaks who show up with their God hates fag signs and your soldier son is in hell, you know, and all this stuff. I don't know. You wonder sometimes, is there a limit of what we'll put up with?
Well, it's like I said, I served in the Marine Corps. I stood my watch. I defended our country and did my thing to support people's right to say what they want. But there is a fine line when it comes to family matters and the fact of, you know, someone's in grief with their family. They've lost a loved one. You don't go do something.
No,
like
for God's sake.
It's just common decency.
Right.
And these people are no more a church than I've walked on the moon.
I hear you. And you think common decency a little bit more common. Hey, thanks, Jim. I got to leave it there. I'll see you all tomorrow night. Don't forget, Youth Night tomorrow night. That's what we're hoping for. I'll see you then. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
Want to lower the cost?